Blackhawks Live.
Fire, score!
Ah! Go Blackhawks!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, time to talk hockey.
There's Bedard at center ice, over the Senator line, right circle, drop pass, Nazar, Schinke scores! Hawks win in overtime! They end the season with a Frank Nazar goal!
Being able to end on a strong note just brings a lot of excitement towards the future and towards next year.
It's time for Blackhawks Live.
It's time!
Are you sure?
It's time!
Sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois, here's Charlie Remiliotis.
Oh, welcome in to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. I am Charlie Remiliotis, and I am reunited with my guy, Jack Heinrich, for our first Blackhawks Live of the year. Jack, it is so good to be back with you, man.
Yeah, it's great. It was, the Bears won, so I was happy today, and two, we had hockey back on, our hockey talk, so it's been a good Monday.
Yeah, and it was also nice driving to the city, and it was still sunlight out. You know, when we're driving into the city and we have these 7 o'clock shows in the middle of December, January, February, it's dark, so it's still early enough where we can get excited about hockey season right around the corner. Big Bears win that they had yesterday against the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm very much looking forward to this Blackhawks season, and I think the thing that has gotten me really excited about the year is new coach. This year, it's going to be all the young players that are going to be infusing this roster. Last year at training camp, there were a lot of veterans. Alec Martinez, Pat Maroon, Taylor Hall, Seth Jones, Peter Mrazek, Craig Smith, all these veterans that were serving as stopgap type options for the Blackhawks until the young players are ready to go. And we're going to see a lot of those young players this year start the year out of training camp with the Blackhawks, whether it's Frank Nazar, Landon Slaggart, Sam Renzel, Artem Levchinov, Spencer Knight, all these exciting young players that we get to watch. But let's start with the man behind the bench. The Blackhawks made a coaching change last year when they relieved Luke Richardson of his duties for Anders Sorensen. Ended up doing a full-blown search over the summer, and they landed on Jeff Blashill, who was the former head coach of the Detroit Red Wings for 7 years, and he previously spent the last 3 years with the Tampa Bay Lightning, serving as the assistant under John Cooper. And I got to be honest, Jack. One, I like the hire when they made it, but I like it even better after seeing the way he has been operating during training camp, because the Hawks have... He has not been taking it easy on them for the first 5 days in training camp. Specifically, they're getting after it. And I guess Blashill told the players ahead of time in the summer, be ready to go on day one, because this won't be a normal training camp where first day is going to be getting our legs underneath us. Second day, we'll ease back into. They've been going balls to the wall like right away. And the first practice, Jack, was 2 hours. Usually in the past, day one is like, you know, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, just like a hard, intense, yeah. just get the legs underneath you again. But he has been going very hard for this Blackhawks team, pushing these players as far as they can every single day. The one thing that I've noticed about Jeff, and if you attend practices, you know what I'm talking about. Very loud, very communicative, efficient in his time. Every drill is structured and they're preparing for the next one. Not a lot of standing around. And so I already like the accountability that Jeff Blashill has been holding this current Blackhawks team. And he there have been a lot of winded players after each of these practices.
Yeah, that's what I've seen on social media. Like, I think you put a few videos of them just dead on the ice.
They could not...
They went hard, and it is good to see just the accountability. You could feel the culture shift, which was, everybody has their own coaching styles, but Luke Richardson's a little more laid back. Jeff Blashill's a little more hands-on and very vocal. I saw a lot of tweets saying you could hear him from where you guys stand with the media, loud and clear. So, and hopefully the players respond to it, and we get our first look tomorrow in game action. But that's... It's encouraging for the first week when you're just seeing how seriously he's taking the new job.
Yeah, you're talking about the conditioning drills after day two of practice. So I'm not sure if you were following on, was it Friday is day two? Yeah, they finished up their practice, which again was another hour and 45 minute practice. The very end of the day consisted of them doing these conditioning drills where they were separated into two teams, and they were each at the other respective goal lines, and you basically had to go, I think it was three or four laps. One designated player from each team had to do those four laps in 45 seconds or less. The rest of the team had to finish in 51 seconds or less. And so each time there was a new player that was doing it. Although I will say Sam Lafferty for the team white, he did it twice. He might have even done it a third time. I have to double check on this. But they were absolutely exhausted by the end of it. And it was, I think Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times tweeted that it was pure carnage in the locker room after, because there were guys spitting into garbage cans by the end of that practice, which was hilarious. Here's Jeff Blashill talking about those conditioning drills specifically and the purpose behind them.
Yeah, it's something that we did in camp in Detroit. It's just kind of honestly, I think a lot of times some of the best bonding is when you go through struggle together, and you know, struggles different kind of ways, and sometimes kind of through working together and grinding through it together. I thought guys did a great job, so that was awesome. You know, that's the kind of work ethic we're going to have, and I thought, again, guys, did a good job kind of pushing each other and making sure we keep pushing that envelope.
You know, I really agree with what he said there about the best kind of bonding is when you go through struggle together. And not to make a miracle reference, one of my favorite sports movies with Herb Brooks, but that was a mentality of his as well, where he wanted the players to hate him so then they can rally around their hatred toward him or towards how hard he practiced them. And it was almost like a rallying cry for those players that he's putting them through the ringer. And I think Herb Brooks in the movie said, "We might not be the best team, but we're going to be the most conditioned team." That feels like the Blackhawks this year, where they might not be able to outskill teams this year, but Jeff Blashill wants his team to be able to go toe-to-toe with every single team this year and every single game from a conditioning standpoint, because that might be the only way for them to be competitive, is if we kind of out-condition the other team.
Right, and there's going to be a lot faster, too, with the personnel they have, so you want to keep that stamina up the whole way, because that can be an advantage if they're going to be flying around the ice, like you said. If they can at least use that component to stay competitive, and you have a lot of young players trying to break in together now. Like you said, last year they had a lot of veterans. This year they're kind of letting the young guys have their chance to play and get this NHL experience. So you want them to be ready for the long haul, because they're not used to playing 80-something games in a year or whatever when you put in preseason games and all that. So you don't want them to run out of the steam in like January where they hit that wall.
That's a really good point, actually, because there are a lot of young players that were in college last year and then they made the jump to the pros, and then the culmination of their season ended like 50 or so games. But for them to have this heart of a training camp conditioning wise, then you add 82 games on top of it, and then hopefully years from now the Hawks are competing in playoffs, that's another potentially two months if you take those deep runs into June. And so it is really important for these young players to get a feel for what it might be like to have an 82 game season plus playoffs, and how their body is going to feel mentally and physically. Let's get to our Hawks click poll, our first one of the year that we put out on our social media pages earlier today. 5 days into training camp, how do you feel about new Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill? So we had three options. One was very optimistic. The second, starting to warm up to him. The third one is still undecided. So we have the front runner is 59% say very optimistic, 23% starting to warm up to him, 18% still undecided. So 82% are basically either optimistic or they're starting to warm up to him. I think that's an encouraging sign that the fan base is starting to get behind Blashill, specifically with how he is running these drills, how he's comporting himself in the media, and the accountability that he's setting for this young Blackhawks team.
Yeah, that I was in the very optimistic, and I think it's because he was kind of a little under the radar higher, because there were some big name coaches and fans always like to drum up the maybe they could swing and get that guy. But he seems very solid. He has a track record with the young guys. Then you see him putting them through these conditioning drills the first two, or like in the first two practices of training camp. So I think that's a welcome sight in the city of Chicago. They like that tough, hard-nosed coaching. And seeing that from the guy that just got here is encouraging. So you hope that carries over into the games. But at least in the training camp, it's been a good start, it seems.
For sure. By the way, speaking of those conditioning drills, I mentioned there were some players that were spitting into garbage cans. As soon as the Blackhawks opened up the locker room, Lucas Reichel was full gear, like laying down on the couch with his feet in the air because he was so gassed. So it was a hilarious scene.
They went through it.
They definitely went through it. And I do not. I was tired watching them, yeah. Honestly. The one thing I also wanted to mention that I noticed day one of training camp, I can't remember how many drills they did, but Blashill made his players skate to the far end of the ice and back if two things happened. One, if there was a missed pass during one of the drills, and two, if there was a turnover. And there was one, I can't remember who the trio was off the top of my head, so I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but there was one trio that had to do it multiple times in the same shift. It was a missed pass, and then there was a turnover, and they had to skate, and Blashill wanted to make sure that they got it right before continuing. But that's also one of those attention to detail that Blashill brings to this Blackhawks team, that he wants to make sure that they're practicing the right way, so that way it translates onto the ice, and that way Blashill, it feels like he is cut from the cloth that if you practice the right way, it's those habits are going to translate over to games. So if you practice slow, you're probably going to be slow in the game. If you practice fast, that's going to carry over into the games. And so that was a little tedious detail that I appreciated. And some of the guys afterwards said, like Nick Foligno specifically said, and he's been around obviously for a very long time, that he loved the way that Blashill was setting that accountability. And Foligno obviously is not the fleetest of foot. Like he's, I can't remember, what is he, 36, 37 years old now? So like these training camps are probably very hard for him. And so for him to say, I love how hard we're skating. I love that we're doing these conditioning drills. I love that we have to skate after a missed pass turn. That is what Foligno has probably felt when he's been on those competitive teams. Like those are the habits that you're going to need to have as a young team, kind of let's set that standard. And so I appreciate Blashill doing that for the Blackhawks, making them skate, whether it's a missed pass or a turnover.
Well, that's how you learn from your mistakes too, because last year sometimes some games they would just it got sloppy for them out there, and it was hard to control the puck and their entries weren't great. So if they're already setting that standard now, that hopefully can help set the tone for the whole year, because these are a lot of, like we were saying, young guys in the NHL that are learning habits, and you want them to have the good habits. And I think when things got sideways a little bit last year is when they were losing some bad creating some bad habits, and they're trying to work out of them. And that's what Blashill's coming in to do. I mean, you got to change the culture from they're trying to get out of the rebuild. We're trying to move to the future, and that's what his job is basically getting them to this next step.
Right. And by the way, I also want to say this. I really love the way that Blashill's coaching staff has rounded out. Love that they retained Anders Sorensen, who, by the way, Blashill and Sorensen actually go way back together. So this was not a forced upon decision by the Blackhawks saying, we want Sorensen to stay on the staff. This was Jeff's decision to want to keep Anders. And I've always said about Anders, he's a very, very bright hockey mind. And there are very few people that I love talking hockey with on a deeper level. Anders is one of those coaches. So I'm glad that he's sticking around. But also with Mike Vellucci and Michael Pekka, two veteran coaches, Pekka bringing his experience from the Rangers, but also a two-time Selke trophy winner as the best defensive forward in the NHL. So that's going to be a valuable voice for some of those young forwards to listen to. And then Mike Vellucci, the experience that he has on Mike Sullivan's staff in Pittsburgh for several years. He's a legit, and Vellucci, by the way, was in the running for multiple NHL head coaching positions this year. So for the fact that the Blackhawks were able to land him, I thought was significant. And this is the first, I don't want this to come across as disrespectful, but this is the first time in a long time that the Blackhawks have had a legit NHL head coaching staff from top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, when they're making these hires, were like, that's a good one, that's a good one. So it is important when to get a good staff around them, like you're saying, something that maybe they've lacked in years past. So just to get that support for a young core going into the NHL for an extended time, that's what they need.
All right, we got much more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich. First show of the season of Blackhawks Live. It's nice to be back. Let's get into Connor Bedard, because the big storyline going into the offseason was when we talked to Connor during the exit interviews last year in April. He mentioned how big of a summer it was going to be as far as wanting to alter some of his offseason training. And he ended up skipping the Worlds for Team Canada because he wanted to take a mental and physical break from hockey and focus on making sure that he was right mentally and physically for the upcoming hockey season. And I thought it was such a mature decision by him, because it easily could have gone the other way, where he sees Sidney Crosby, his childhood idol, commit to playing for Team Canada, and also some of his close friends like Macklin Celebrini. They ended up playing, but he said, no, I'm sticking with my offseason regimen. And we saw clips that were surfacing of Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini all summer training in Vancouver. And I know it's hard to tell from the practice videos of how, if he's faster or not, because that was the one goal that Connor wanted going into this summer, was he felt like he was maybe a half step behind last year, and going into this year he wanted to gain an extra step. And just watching the first 5 days of practice, Connor Bedard certainly looks like he accomplished what he wanted to this summer, and I'm very excited to see how that's going to translate into game type settings. But he looks refreshed mentally, he looks fantastic physically. Vibes are really high. Like the losses definitely have worn on him over the last couple of years, but I think the momentum from last year, the way they finished with that 3-0-1 record, all the young guys are starting to filter into the roster. I'm curious to see how Connor Bedard is going to translate, how it's going to translate going into year three, because I'm expecting big things from Connor this year.
Yeah, I mean, even in just the clips that you and other reporters have posted, he looks really good. And this, I think he's heard a lot of the chatter, and I think that played into his decision to not go to the Worlds and just focus on his game. And he looked pretty good in the training camp. And those clips, I mean, when you're in the off season of any sport, those clips will go crazy when people are just looking for any kind of content. So we'll see if he's playing tomorrow and what he looks like in game action. But I think it's reasonable to expect a big year from him, because he's rookie year, has the broken jaw last year, just a grind for him. So hopefully this year he's come in feeling good and can just hit the ground running.
Yeah, it sounds like we will get to see him tomorrow in Detroit, which is going to be fun to watch. But you mentioned year three expectations. I think I saw some odds makers had him at 72.5 points as the over under this year. I am hammering the over on that. I think his rookie year pace was 74. If he didn't have the jaw injury, he was on a 74 point pace. Last year he had an off year and it was 67. So a 5 point increase. I feel like Connor's going to get that. My prediction this year is he's going to be a point per game player. Like, I think he hits 82 this year. The line mates are obviously going to be a question mark, but I think he'll have taken a big enough step where they're going to get much more production out of the power play. I think he will be better individually. I think his line mates will be a little bit better. So I expect Connor to really have a big year. The other big storyline going into the season, and something we asked both Connor and Kyle Davidson, Connor's going into this year as a pending restricting free agent next year. So July 1st hit, the Blackhawks and Connor are eligible to now talk extension. We saw Frank Nazar and Spencer Knight get those deals worked out earlier in the summer. Connor is still without a deal as far as next year. Here's what Bedard and Davidson had to say when talking about those contract talks.
I'm easy, like, whatever. I mean, like, I've said a bunch that, you know, it hasn't been like ruthless, like anything, you know. It's just like a couple chats, and it's all pretty chill, and we have a good relationship, so it's not something that, you know, keeps me up at night or something I really ever think of, to be honest.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's nothing we're actively working on right now, but I think Connor's mention it. I'll say it. I have zero concern about where that's headed. He wants to be here for a long time. We want him here for a long time, and we're going to make that happen.
Yeah, the Blackhawks are going to make that happen, and Connor does not seem concerned one bit either, nor should he be, because a couple things at play here. One, the salary cap is going to be growing exponentially over the next several years. It's crazy. Like, there was a projection recently that had, like, in 5 years, that the 5 or 6 years, the salary cap could be doubling from what it is like last year, which is insane to think about. So I think both the teams and the players are trying to figure out what exactly those numbers are going to be. But if you're Connor, you're coming off a down year last year, and he might want to just see how the start of the season goes, because if he gets out of the gate hot, well, then that number is likely going to increase. There's also the term aspect of it. You know, we saw Austin Matthews kind of reset the what players wanted after their entry-level contract, where typically you go from entry-level contract to bridge deal to then a long-term deal, or you just go from entry-level contract to the max right away. But Austin Matthews, when his entry-level contract expired with Toronto, he went straight to a five-year deal because he wanted to max out. He got like $11.5 million, and then he was able to cash out again whenever his next contract is up. And so I think it's just trying to figure out what works for both parties. I'm sure if you're the Hawks, you want to get that to you want the term to be as long as you can, because you want to see what that number is going to be like when you're starting to move around some puzzle pieces. But this is not like a Connor McDavid, Kirill Kaprizov situation where it's like going into the final year of the contract, then he's a UFA. Like, Bedard is under rights with the Blackhawks until he's like 27 years old. And so he's not going anywhere. It's just a matter of when it's going to get done. And I loved what Connor said during exit interviews last year. He had the mic drop quote when he was asked about it. He's like, I love being here. I've said it 100 times. The people close to me know that I love being here. I want to be here for a long time. And I think he said something like, sometimes people will clip things of me being sad on the bench, but it gets misinterpreted that I'm unhappy. And it's like, yeah, the losing obviously is not fun, but that does not mean that he is going anywhere out of Chicago. So Connor has been in unbelievably positive spirits during training camp, showed no stress about the contract situation, and the Blackhawks reciprocated that by saying, we're going to get this done. It's just a matter of when. So if it does carry into the regular season, do not be alarmed by that. The deal will get done. It's just a matter of the two sides coming to an agreement. And it might just be, hey, let's just play out the first part of the season to see how things are transpiring, because, you know, Connor may have a really hot start.
Yeah, he probably feels like he has something to prove. And he's, like you said, heard all the chatter. And it is funny to see those tweets. I see those tweets that are like, oh, he's not happy here. And it's like, well,
it's like the Vancouver Canucks fan base, yeah, that's trying to lure him to,
right,
Vancouver.
To bring the hometown kid home. But no, do you want him smiling on the bench when they're losing? I mean, he just wants to win. That's all it is. And I think he's extremely competitive, and he's kind of had the spotlight in his face at a young age. So he's trying to figure that all out. And I think you should, and at this case, listen to what they're both saying. And it seems like they'll figure it out. And like you said, he might start off really hot, and the Hawks are like, all right, we've seen enough. We'll meet you where you're at, or maybe the other side meets where. So it seems like it'll work out, and it's kind of nice that they have Vlasic under control, Nazar, Knight. You're starting to see some of the core guys that they're trying to lock up long term as they're trying to get out of the rebuild.
Yeah, and this is also the core piece of the Blackhawks. So right, when you're talking about other teams like McDavid and MacKinnon and Makar, like those extensions are not easy to do, because that contract is going to set the tone for the rest of the contracts, right? You saw what Tampa Bay did when Steven Stamkos signed his long-term extension. Any free agent that came to Tampa Bay the Tampa Bay management would say, well, Steven Stamkos is our best player, you're not getting more than him. So whatever Connor's number comes in at, that's kind of going to be the barometer of, you know, pending free agents, unless they're really high profile names. But yeah, it's no concern that they're going to be able to find a way to get this done. Whether it's sooner or later, it will get done. Lastly, Connor's line mates is something that we were monitoring going into training camp. The two players that he's been with pretty much all of camp, Andrei Burakovsky and Ryan Donato. So we know Bedard and Donato already have that chemistry from last year. And then Burakovsky is, man, if he's the player that he was a couple years ago, pre-injury that has been annoying him the last couple years, that he finally feels healthy, I think he could be a unique player and bring a different element of this Blackhawks team where you kind of look like, you look at him on the ice and he looks like a power forward, but he actually is a pretty skilled player. Like he's moves. And so I think he could complement Bedard nicely. The team did scrimmage today and Connor was on a line with Reichel and Oliver Moore, but Blashill said not to read too much into that because it was more, they were doing some special teams work today and they didn't want to have to change up some of the lines. And so I'm not sure what the lines are going to be like tomorrow because I don't know if Burakovsky and Donato are going to be playing, but I would expect Burakovsky and Donato to get the first crack on opening night with Connor Bedard, unless something happens in the preseason where it's like, okay, they're not clicking. Maybe we want to tweak things. So Donato and Burakovsky are likely going to be the two wingers for Connor out of the gate.
Yeah. You're hoping for some consistency in him, and Donato played really well last year. And I think you said when Burakovsky came here, like, this is a guy that might play at the top of the Hawks lineup. So hopefully he gets some consistency. And he's got two veterans with him, so that could help him as well. And we saw Donato's scoring prowess, and that led him to get in this four-year deal. So hopefully he can keep that up into the high 20s. And we'll see. Last year seemed like a career year, but hopefully he's just that consistent guy that Bedard can count on.
For sure. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Coming up next on 720 WGN. That voice you just heard was the great Pat Boyle, the studio host for the Blackhawks on CHSN. Him and I do a Blackhawks Breakaway podcast twice a week, and we're going to be playing some of that audio here on our Blackhawks Live shows to kind of tease it. That was sponsored by Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. I think we're going to record one after the game tomorrow to kind of recap the scrimmage that we saw today, but also the first preseason game tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that. I do want to talk about what Pat was saying there and one of the topics that we were talking about with Nick Foligno and the importance of his leadership role. So I'm not sure if you guys saw this circulating over the summer, but Nick Foligno has a place out in Sudbury, and he invited a handful of the young players by the Blackhawks to just hosted them. I think his brother's his neighbor, his parents also live there as well. So they kind of had a big Foligno gathering, and some of the players that were there, the seven players that were there, Frank Nazar, Landon Slager, Oliver Moore, Colton Dock, Wyatt Kaiser, Ethan Del Mastro, and Nolan Allen. And man, I admire that so much by Nick Foligno. And I know this might sound cheesy, but Nick Foligno is a veteran in this league. I know he's the captain of the Blackhawks, but he doesn't have to do this. Like he's got kids, he's got a family, he's got things to do in the summer. But the fact that he's going out of his way to help lay the groundwork for this young Blackhawks team and getting them all together and making sure they're kind of unified. You hear this all the time with athletes in other sports and even in hockey. Man, Patrick Kane would say this all the time. Like he would go back and look at the 2010, 13, and 15 team, and he said the common denominator of all those teams is we were just as close off the ice as we were on the ice, and it translated into those games. And so I love that Foligno is kind of setting that tone and showing the young players what it should be like in the summers where you want to hang out with each other and you want to build this off-ice relationship together. So that way when you're on the ice, one, you've already built that trust factor with each other, but also you've developed this chemistry and like you know that you're going to battle for a guy that you spent, you know, a weekend with in Sudbury together. So man, shout out to Foligno for doing that, because he could easily just kind of fade into the sunset in the back half of his NHL career, but he's going out of his way to make sure that he's laying the groundwork for these young players that he could eventually see down the road when the Blackhawks are competing for playoffs and Stanley Cups. Foligno is going to be able to look at that and be like, man, I'm so proud of the way that I helped them get there, because it's so crucial what he's been doing.
It's all about the culture shift, right? It's what I've been saying the whole show. And he's taken the leadership very seriously. That's why they gave him the 2-year extension after they traded for him from Boston. So he's done a really good, it's not like he's old in terms of like the world, he's like in his mid-30s, but like compared to like Bedard, he's like almost double his age or whatever. So he's done a really good job of finding a way to connect with that younger generation, and you can see it in some of their behind the scenes videos they post on like TikTok or Instagram. And You see a lot of the young guys taking a dig at him. I think they ask what's old, and they're like, I don't know, whatever Fliggy is. So he's done a really good job in that aspect, and now you're hoping that translates to more on-ice success. But a big part of helping these young guys along is the captain, and him doing that in the offseason was cool to see.
For sure. I also saw once some of the young players reported back to Chicago, somebody took a picture of them at a bar in Wrigleyville, and it was like, Nazar and Bedard, they had, some of them had water, so don't come at me, but like Tara Vinen was there and Colton Dock was there, and like it was awesome to see them. Like, that's exactly what they should be doing. All those guys in their teen years, early 20s, most of them are single, you know what I mean? Like, you want to have that bond,
hang out with the boys.
You want to build that off-ice chemistry. And so I loved seeing what Foligno did to bring those seven players. By the way, they also skated. Like, it wasn't just an off-ice bonding thing. Like, they also put in some workouts together, and they rented a rink and they trained together. So I just thought it was awesome for Foligno to do that, but also seeing the younger guys together going out and, you know, having a good time together, building that off-ice chemistry so that way it translates onto the ice, not just this season, but in the foreseeable future and long-term for the Blackhawks. That's going to do it for our first Blackhawks Live of the season, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Thanks for hanging out with us with our first show. Our next one is going to be next Monday at 7 p.m. We'll talk to you then from Charlie Meliotis and Jack Heinrich.